good.
1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9, our new signal in Manchester. It is Kale and Company. We are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Weed Family Automotive, they are at 124 Store Street in Concord. 603-225-7988 is the number to call. And joining us today is Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, candidate for United States Senate. And General Bolduc, we welcome you back. Great to have you with us.
Well, Ken, it's great to be with you, and my best to your listener.
Well, thank you. And I know you have been very, very busy out on that campaign trail.
I have. I've been busy in all 10 counties of this wonderful state of ours, talking to Granite Staters from all across the electorate. There is a completely different focus on 2022 than there was on 2020. I should know. I was involved in the 2020 election process, and now back in 2022. So, very, very busy.
So how is it different?
Well, people are more concerned to this election cycle about their government, the fact that it is growing too big. They see their individual rights not being protected. They see a tremendous amount of fiscal irresponsibility, and they, quite frankly, lack trust and confidence in elected officials on both sides of the aisle, I might add, and they're looking for truth and transparency. These are the big things, because it affects their families, it affects our communities, and it's negatively affecting the safety and security in our country.
Well, last week, Governor Sununu, of course, made his plans public, and he will not be seeking the United States Senate seat, which is now occupied by Maggie Hassan. What were your thoughts when you heard the news from the governor?
Well, my thoughts were, hey, you know, now it's officially on to Maggie Hassan, you know, to kind of quote Bill Belichick, you know, on to Cincinnati, on to Maggie Hassan. Now we can, you know, focus on the Senate election without having any reservations on whether or not the governor is running. And the people of New Hampshire can. And those that from other states that are hugely, interested in the New Hampshire Senate race can now focus on the Senate race and the candidate that can beat Maggie Hassan, which the polls are proven it's me. So we're moving forward, and this is great.
You have made tremendous gains in the polls, as you alluded to. And, I think we understand the reasons why. But what is your interpretation of that?
Well, here's the biggest reason. Senator Hassan just doesn't distinguish herself much from the Biden agenda. And, you know, I realize President Biden has supporters out there, but his agenda has, negatively impacted our economy, negatively impacted fiscal responsibility, negatively impacted the internal security of the United States, as well as our weak foreign policy. So, recently on Close Up, she said, when she was asked the question, what separates her from the Biden agenda, she said, well, she didn't vote for the Solicitor General, which, you know, if you look, not anything that Granite Staters are tracking. And she opposed the Afghanistan timeline. Well, there's much more than just opposing the Afghanistan timeline and opposing a Solicitor General, right? We have higher taxes, higher gas, higher food prices. We have less security. Our border is a mess. Cybersecurity is a mess. Our supply chain is a mess, all of which she sits on those committees. But immigration is a mess. Weak foreign policy. We've given China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran significant opportunities. We're viewed as weak. We're not trusted by our allies, which we have forged relationships with, you know, since the beginning of this country, but more importantly, since the end of World War II. Public education in our country is substandard as far as I'm concerned. And if you look here in New Hampshire and you talk to people in New Hampshire, they would agree. And if we look closer to New Hampshire and the ideas that she has and she supports, our opioid crisis, mental health crisis, healthcare costs, energy costs, and the idea that we're going to force shot mandates on our children and on others and causing people to lose their jobs is just not the right way to approach that situation. So these are all things that are on the minds of Granite Staters, and I don't support any of this agenda. It's a bad agenda for America, and I think that President Biden really needs to reconsider what he's doing because it's really hurting Granite Staters in America.
General Bolduc, what did you make of the recent election results in both Virginia in particular and also New Jersey?
Well, I think what we saw there is pushback on everything that I just talked about, right? Particularly when you tell parents that they have no say in the education of their children, which is what she alluded to, and I would say more than alluded to, on close-up. She said that basically parents need to calm down and that teachers have the right to teach whatever they think is necessary to be taught to our children. Well, partly right, but mostly wrong. I want chemistry teachers to teach chemistry. I want math teachers to teach math. I want English teachers to teach English. You leave the teaching of morals and ethics and those type of things to the parents and not to teachers and not to directions from the teachers union. We have to support our parents. They must have the lion's share of the say in when it comes to educating our children. And so, I think that we saw that in Virginia. And although her comments weren't as definitive as McAuliffe were, they certainly were parallel to that. And that should be concerning to every parent, regardless of what political party you sit in. Parents must be involved in the education of their children. They must be given the lion's share of the say. And the school board needs to have people in it that recognize they work for the parents.
Well, earlier this week, we saw President Biden sign into law the $1.2 billion bipartisan infrastructure bill. Many Americans seem to like it. What are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, I don't like it, and I wouldn't have voted for it, right? It's not an infrastructure bill, and it's loaded with a lot of things that are fiscally irresponsible, and we needed to step back and look at all the other bills that have been passed and dedicated billions and trillions of dollars to that have not been spent yet, and consolidate those things and do the right thing. It's like they don't even understand how to run a checkbook and how to look at what's coming in, what's going out, and then balancing that checkbook to see where you've spent money and where you haven't spent money and how to reallocate those things. This is not an infrastructure bill that is going to result in any tangible results for Granite Staters or anyone else. It's going to be a reckless spending of money in what you would consider to be additional handout programs that are only going to spend money and not going to give people a hand up so we can improve their lives. And this is where we have to go. It's about improving people's lives. It's about self-determination initiative. It's about the don't tread on me attitude. And what they're doing is this infrastructure bill has allowed the government at the federal level to dictate stuff to the state with strings attached, but not only that, dictate it to us and take away our individual rights and our ability to make our own decisions about things. And this is where they're going with it. This is what they want to do. They want to grow government. They want to take more away from us. They want to flip our idea of we the people under a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's what she stands for. That's what the Biden administration stands for. That's what they're looking to do. And we have to change this direction, or we're going to lose this wonderful country.
Were you surprised, General, that 13 Republicans voted for that infrastructure bill?
Well, I wasn't surprised because I, you know, keep up with current events, but I was extremely disappointed. And I think, this is just politicization, right? Okay, how can I get reelected, right? It's not about staying true to your constituents, staying true to a set of values, a set of principles. It's about which way is the wind blowing so I can get reelected. And we don't need those kind of people in Washington, D.C. anymore. We got career politicians inside a corrupt political construct. The parties are out of control. They're only interested in their next election, their special interests, their lobbyists, the elitists that control them so that they can stay in office. And that's not what the American people need, and that is definitely not what Granite Staters need. And I got to tell you, Ken, that's what I'm hearing on the campaign trail. And that's the distinction between me, you know, huge distinction between me and, and Maggie Hassan. And that is that I am a proven public servant, dedicated to serving, dedicated to doing the right thing through truth and transparency. And she has proven she's a career politician 98% of the time, tied to the establishment, will turn her back on the people in order to stay in good stead with the establishment so that she can get millions of dollars to run for office. And she really doesn't care what negative effect that has on Granite Staters because, you know, they're not going to give them the money she needs to get reelected.
Of course, the passing of the infrastructure bill did not boost President Biden's poll numbers, nor the numbers for any of the rest of the Democratic Party.
Well, of course it didn't, because ultimately we see the media, it's on its own narrative. I've been virtually shut out of the media here in New Hampshire in large part, really because of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, but I've been shut out. That's okay, because what you can't shut me out of is going around and talking with people and circumventing that. And so what the media presents us and what they want us to think leads us to believe that, oh, this is so popular, yay, everybody's clapping. But at the end of the day, thoughtful people, people that understand that this isn't good for them, say, hey, this is not what we want. This is not what we need. This is not good for the future of our children and our grandchildren. And yesterday I was at the Mount Washington Valley Republicans group. Carroll County GOP was there as well. And it was a packed full room. And I got to tell you, this is their message. This is their concern that they're not being told the truth, that the media is not doing its job. I've been sending out the code of ethics to, media folks here in New Hampshire saying, hey, listen, you got a code of ethics here. It's about time that you start following that code of ethics and start telling the people the truth and stop being political about your things. And that's what's happening. But you get out there, you shake people's hands, you knock on doors, you go to events, you talk to people, and they tell you exactly what's going on, what exactly the feeling of the people is. And regardless of what you see on TV in terms of, oh, this is such a popular bill, well, the poll numbers aren't going to move. And the poll numbers aren't going to move because when they call people up and ask them how they feel, they're going to say, nope, not for this. This is not good for our children and our grandchildren. And when I looked at a little boy who was about 6 months old, his name was Merrick, last night, And I pointed at him and I said, that's our future. That's who we need to be focused on. And that is what we're not focused on. I got a standing ovation. So that's what people are thinking about now. They're thinking about future and what things are being done today that are going to interfere with that.
General Bolduc, why do you think you have been largely shut out by the Republican Party?
Well, you know, I mean, this is a quote. We want somebody we can control. It's a quote. It's a quote from them. You know, I'm not running against the Republican Party, not running against the Democrat Party, not running against Libertarians, I'm not running against Independents, I'm running against Maggie Hassan, right? And so I am completely focused on Maggie Hassan, on to Maggie Hassan. But they want someone they can control. And so I'm not that guy, Ken. You're not going to be able to control me. Now, I'm not out of control. I am with the people. I am for limited government, individual rights. I am for fiscal responsibility. I am for the safety and security of America. I am for God, family, community, country. I stand for that. I have a lifetime of service for that. I would give my life for that in a heartbeat because it matters. It's important. And you're not going to control, because I know my values and principles are based on our Declaration of Independence and my dedication to the Constitution, the bulwark and guarantee of our freedom. That's what I am dedicated to. And I know that if we do that, Ken, we will serve the people well. If when we think other things like self-service and our own career and special interests and other elitists that give us money. When we get caught up in that, that's when we do the wrong thing. And that's why I am, unfortunately, you know, running against the establishment again this time. But this time, as I mentioned earlier in the conversation, it's a different election, and people are looking at it completely different.
Brigadier General Don Bolduc is with us, and switching to another topic, General Bolduc, our southern border, our southern borders, wide open. Is anything going to be done about that?
Nothing will be done about it. Nothing's going to be done about it. They've made it quite clear that they're happy with open borders, that they're happy with, you know, more drugs, more guns, more human trafficking, less security. 1.7 million illegals coming into our country. You know, more people that than live in this state, so there'll be nothing done about it because they need this kind of in order for them to push their agenda and of divisiveness and separating people and putting people in bins and then creating animosity between different groups. They need this. And so they are going to not do anything about it because they have identified that this is their route to success, that this is their route to changing our great American constitutional republic to American Marxism.
Is that Victor we hear in the background?
That is not. That no. Is Barra you heard in the background, so I stepped outside. Barra is a military working dog that Sharon and I adopted. He is an explosives dog and 3 tours in Afghanistan. So she lets us know when anyone walks by the front of the house, right? And and so that's what she was doing.
Well, that's good. General Don Bolduc is with us, and we want to take a quick break here and get to a few more issues. And this is Kale and Company on 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 in Manchester, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Hale and Company, joined today by Brigadier General Donald Bolduc. He is running for the United States Senate against the Democratic incumbent, Maggie Hassan. We found out last week that Governor Sununu has decided not to seek the senatorial seat in Washington. So right now, the only major Republican candidate is the gentleman we're talking with right now, and that is Brigadier General Donald Bolduc. And General Bolduc, who do you think is really pulling the strings for the Democrats? What is your opinion about that?
Well, you know, I believe that there is a parallel group of advisors that are really pulling the strings. You know, I mean, you see the poll numbers for you know, for President Biden. They're even worse for the vice president. And so, you know, I believe that, you know, people like Susan Rice, I believe that, President Obama, the Clintons, Samantha Powers, all these people that we saw very influential in the previous administration, you know, behind the scenes, working to advise the president on what to do, probably even more than that, directing what's being done. You know, you may or may not have agreed with Joe Biden when he was a senator, but there's one thing: if you do the analysis and you do the work and you see the things that he did before, which you may or may not agree with, what he's doing now is a stark departure from the actions that he did when he was a senator. And of course, you know, as President Obama's vice president, you know, he was, you know, eclipsed by very popular president. And so you didn't see much, you know, of him there independently. But certainly if you go back to his senator days, you can see that this is just not the Joe Biden that we saw then. And he's not doing anything that he campaigned on, right? So it would lead you to believe that there is a strong advisory committee that is doing more than advising, but they're directing. And there is, as you can see, a majority of America now that does not agree with that direction.
Very true. You can tell that by the ever-declining poll numbers for President Biden. No doubt about that. The last time you were on this radio station, General Bolduc, was right after the incredibly botched withdrawal of United States troops from Afghanistan, where you served 10 tours of duty for this country. I'm sure there's not a day that goes by in your mind that you don't think about what took place in that country.
Well, there isn't a day that goes by because I am consistently reminded every day from either a Facebook message or a text from somebody in Afghanistan asking me to try and help them. And the latest one was Major General Ahmadzai, who I worked with very closely on the Village Stability and Afghan Local Police Program. He was the Major General for the Afghans that was in charge of that. And I was his advisor, and we became close friends. And he is now in hiding because there's a big old target on his head because the Taliban and Al-Qaeda made the Afghan local police their number one target because the Afghan local police never lost a fight or a battle and kept the Taliban and Al-Qaeda out of the villages and prevented them from controlling the rural areas, which is the key to controlling Afghanistan. And so being head of that program on the Afghan side of things, he was a major general in the Ministry of Interior, so he was a police officer. He's got a big target on his head, and I can't get him out. He's in hiding. I feel bad about it. I have really no influence on being able to get him out. I'm glad he is safe, but at the same time, we, you know, we left Americans behind, we abandoned our allies, we left our Afghans that we promised that we would not do behind, inconsistent with our values and principles. We weakened ourselves across this world. We gave China, Iran, the opportunity to go in there and, you know, get some of our weapon systems, exploit that, take control of that. Now we see, you know, the results of that based on a very poorly planned withdrawal non-combatant evacuation operations. And worse than that, we lost 13 American service members because of a poor military strategy, military operational approach, and military tactical operations on the ground led by general officers that should have known better and stood up and said something. And they didn't. And that's why I called for all of their resignations. Of course, that's not going to happen. This is a lesson for all of us that, you know, when we don't have a good policy, when we don't have a good strategy, and we allow wars to go on for 20 years, and then we just say, oh, the hell with it. We're out of here. The consequences of that. Nothing could be more so than the loss of life on the American side, the Afghan side that we saw. But worst of all, our veterans who served there, and veterans of other combat service areas, all saw this as a trigger for what happened to them and what they saw during their service, and they thought their service was in vain. And you know, my messaging has been talking to many, many veterans is, no, it was not in vain. You did exactly what we wanted you to do. You did it with honor. You did it with integrity. You accomplished your mission. And please, do not blame yourselves for the poor decisions of civilian leadership and general officers and admirals. You did your job. You did it with honor. And we owe you a tremendous amount. And so that's what I think about every day.
I'm sure you do. And no one in this country seems to have a very good handle as to how many Americans still remain in Afghanistan. Do you have any idea?
You know, I really don't have any idea. But I do know that through, you know, organizations like Pineapple Express, one of them, I believe, is going to be recognized in the Patriot Awards tonight with Fox on Fox Nation. They probably have better handles on this, but I just do not know. I just know now that we have Afghans that we should have gotten out of there. We didn't get out of there. That would be very productive citizens. And I talked to you about Major General Ahmadzai. Well, his son is an American citizen who lives in Texas. So they have ties to America, good ties to America. And his son became an American citizen the right way. You know what I mean? And so these are the kind of people that we left behind. And that's completely wrong.
Yeah, it's a shame. It was a tragedy. And it weighs heavy on the hearts of so many in this country and around the world, for that matter. Do you think we will see a time, General Bolduc, when U.S. troops will go back to Afghanistan?
I do believe it's a possibility. There is a high possibility that is going to happen. Afghanistan will devolve into another very, very dangerous terrorist safe haven where Al-Qaeda and ISIS and others will destabilize that region to the point where we're going to have to go back in. It is a very sensitive region with Iran to the west with nuclear, working on nuclear capability. We're not doing much about that anymore. We got Pakistan, who's a nuclear power. We need to team with India India is a strong ally and a strong partner. You know, China is doing a lot of really bad things out in Kashmir, up on the border there, with our, against India. India is a very good ally to help us, against China, and get in the way of China's ambitions in that region. And so, I do believe, for a variety of reasons that go beyond just our concerns about terrorism and extremist organizations, but more to the point of humanitarian crises and other security crises like nuclear power, that we will be back there. Yeah.
Mm. In February of next year, the 2022 Winter Olympics are scheduled to take place in China. It appears right now the U.S. is wavering about its participation, whether they will go or not. Should they go?
Well, you know, that's a tough question, right? And I liken it back to the 1980 Olympics, where we had the same kind of problems. Remember, the Summer Olympics, back in that time, Carter didn't send our Olympian, but the Russians said, we're going to come over and we're going to embarrass you in your own country. And what happened? We embarrassed them. We beat them. We got a miracle on ice. And we took it to them, and we took it to them hard. And we got athletes in this country that have dedicated their life to competing. I'm just torn about this thing, because I think we should take it to them, and we should just hammer them and let them know, hey, it doesn't matter, military, politically, diplomatically, sports-wise, this is America. We're the greatest country in the world. We never run from a fight, whether it is a sports fight or a fight for freedom. And I think, you know, that's where I stand on this. So, you know, I get it that there's a lot of different ideas about this, but, man, I don't run from a fight. I take the fight to them, and that's what we need to do. We got too many people running from fights nowadays, and look where it's got.
You're probably familiar with Enes Kanter of the Boston Celtics, who was taking a strong stand against China and their policies. Any thoughts about what he has done?
God bless him. Absolutely. This guy is spot on in everything that he says. We got, you know, the Biden administration in their weakness, and you know, when I say all this stuff, it's also Maggie Haskins. It's Maggie Haskins. She doesn't stand up for any of this stuff, right? Nothing. She sits silent. And so, you know, silence is consent. But he is absolutely right. China is now sitting on the Human Rights Commission in the UN, pointing fingers at us that we're a racist nation because this current administration, with the support of Maggie Haskins, allows them to be able to capitalize on that narrative, which is a false narrative, right? We're not a racist nation. It's unbelievable. And so all of this collectively has empowered China to look down on America and to interfere with American national security across the world, whether it's trade, whether it is our economy, whether it is our education, and they're interfering with our American philosophy, culture, and history, and we're allowing them to do it. Are you kidding me? So he's absolutely right. What China has done to people that have, throughout its history, with its communistic view, what it's done to children, what it's done to families that have had more than one child, taking them out of their home and exterminating them, what it did with COVID, what it did with, the Uyghurs, what it's doing to expand what's going on in Asia, what it's done to Venezuela, I mean, what it's doing in Africa. I mean, this is unbelievable, and we're just passing out tickets to it, and we're going to find ourselves regretting that. And if we don't nip these problems that we see now in the bud, we're going to have a huge problem that draws us into a war that we are not prepared for right now. And we don't have the leader with the backbone to execute it properly to ensure the safety and security of America.
Now, speaking of that, what do you think about the overall status of our military right now?
Overall status of the military right now, I will sum it up, is it is weak. Weak. CRT, shot mandate, all these things, a terrible withdrawal and an abandonment of our values and principles by our senior leadership, General Milley, Secretary Austin, the other joint chiefs, the Army Chief of Staff, the Navy Chief of Staff, the Marine Corps Commandant, the Air Force Chief of Staff, all these guys have weakened our military. Our Navy's not ready, our Air Force is not ready, our nuclear forces are not ready, and we need people in the Senate that are going to take them to task and get them to do the right thing to support our service members. And to make sure that we're ready. And the sons and daughters that are given to us by our American families are taken care of and are given the best opportunities to win in a fight. And they have trust in their leaders, that these leaders are going to make sure that they support them and not worry about their careers and their next promotion and say no to civilian leadership when they're setting you up for a mission that is a failure. You know, this isn't about fucking the system against civilian control of the military. It's doing your job that you have been mandated by law to do as a general officer and an admiral and a secretary of defense, right? And they're not even doing that. And we can see Afghanistan as a quintessential example of that and other social experiments that are going on inside our military that are distracting from fighting our nation's wars, and most importantly, winning them, which we haven't done in a long time.
You know, we only have a couple of minutes left, and it's always great to discuss the issues with you, General Bolduc, and you will never be shut out on this radio station, I can tell you that much. And you know who we don't hear much about these days, amazingly enough, is North Korea. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, right now, North Korea, it doesn't have anything that it needs to stand up against, right? And there's no pressure on. So they're just quietly doing whatever it is they want to do, getting the support from Russia, getting the support from China, getting backup from Iran. They're all working together. They're doing it very silently because there's no pressure on them to do anything otherwise. So they're being very smart about this. They're really starting to adapt the unrestricted warfare policy that China came out with in 1999 that they've been instituting ever since. And so I believe that not hearing from them, not having them in the news is very dangerous because I think right now they're just rolling along, nothing to worry about. They got an administration. They got a Congress here that's sympathetic to them. And so, guess what? Why should they be shining a light on something that we're not shining a light on? They're just going to keep moving. So, I am very concerned about a quiet enemy.
Well, President Trump made a very controversial visit to North Korea during his presidency. Was that a good move or a bad move on his part, do you think?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great, right? I don't think it was, it was only controversial because anything he did was controversial.
Right.
I mean, the guy could have come up with the cure for cancer and there would have been something wrong with it, right?
Yeah.
So, it's just unbelievable. That's what we want him to do. We want him to engage with world leaders. We want them to understand the will and power of our president and look him in the eye and see his resolve for the American people and the American way of life, right? That's what we want. And then he comes back and says to his cabinet members, hey, this is the policy that I want you guys to work on. So get on it, right? Because this is about economic prosperity. fiscal responsibility and the security of Americans. And, you know, hey, all leaders are going to make mistakes. This isn't about, you know, pole vaulting over mouse turds and you know, being picky about things. These, what's going on today, can, in my mind, are major departures from our values, our principles, our idea of governance, and it is leading us down the road that is really going to sacrifice the economic prosperity of Americans and our safety and security.
Now, unfortunately, I think we've already seen that to a certain extent, and somebody has got to nip it in the bud.
We got to nip it in the bud, right?
Absolutely.
And like I say to all Granite Staters, we are going to nip it in the bud, not Don Baldick. We are going to. It's like when I commanded at every level. This isn't about Don Baldick, the commander. This is about us, the unit. And whether it was the Desert Eagles, 1st Battalion, 3rd Special Forces Group, or any other command that I commanded, all the way up to the general officer level, this is about us. It's about we. It's about the team. It's about coming together, and it's about doing the right thing. And we got to get back to that because we are not doing it right now and haven't been doing it for a long time.
General Baldock, I could talk with you for hours on end, and you're always welcome on this show. Thank you so much, as always, for your time today.
Thank you, Ken. And please, have a great Thanksgiving. Please, your listeners, I want them to have a great Thanksgiving. God bless them all, and thank you for this opportunity. I love talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you, General. I appreciate it very much. Have a great day and a great Thanksgiving. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Brigadier General Don Baldock, candidate for United States Senator. Take a break here, 1450 AM, WKXL, 1039 FM in Concord, 1019 in Manchester, Kale & Company. Presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, located at 124 Store Street in Concord. WeedFamilyAutomotive.com. 1450 AM, WKXL, 1039 FM in Concord, 1019 FM in Manchester, our brand new signal in the Queen City and beyond, covering Goffstown and Bedford and places where people have not had the opportunity in the past to listen over the air anyway to the great programming here on WKXL. And there is a lot of great programming all throughout the day, starting with A.J. Kierstead, WKXL in the morning, doing a terrific job with that show. And in the afternoon, Matt Robeson and two-time U.S. Congressman Paul Hodes do a terrific job with their programming. We have the New England Take, In Touch, Artful Living, Press Pass with Chris Ryan, and Facing the Future, so many other great programs. And, of course, WKXL is the home of Boston Celtics basketball. And I'll tell you what, Celtics have a string of home games coming up, beginning on Friday night against the Lakers, LeBron at the TD Garden, and Saturday night they host Oklahoma City. Have a day off on Sunday, and then Monday, Houston comes to town. You can hear all the action of Boston Celtics basketball. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell do a great job on the broadcast. John Wallach filling in on the play-by-play from time to time, but it's always a terrific broadcast here on 1450 AM, WKXL, 1039 FM, 1019 FM in the Concord area. We are rapidly running out of time here on Kale and Company, and we thank Brigadier General Donald Baldock for joining us for most of the program today. And if you missed it, well, it's very simple. You can hear it again. You can hear all of the WKXL programming on nhtalkradio.com, nhtalkradio.com. And if you're out of the vicinity, out of our signal range, you can always hear the stream of WKXL on nhtalkradio.com. Kale & Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com.